Words of my mouth and meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The passage that Ron read has always been such a blessing to me, an encouragement to me and encouragement to others over the years. Just a brief couple of verses, let me just read it to you again. Simon, Simon, this is Jesus speaking to Peter, just before the crucifixion. Behold, Satan has demanded permission or obtained permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when once again you have turned, strengthen your brothers. Peter looked to him and said, Lord, I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me. Now understand again who we're talking about here. He was kind of the alpha male of all the apostles. He was the one who God got revelation first who Jesus was. He said, heaven, only heaven could reveal to you that I'm the Christ. Others were still guessing. But Peter was a person like us. He got it right. He got it wrong at times. He cut people's ears off. Jesus had to stick them back on. But this one who preached the sermon at Pentecost when all those people got saved, he was the leader. He was the top one of all the apostles. Didn't mean that Jesus loved him more. It's just that was a calling on his life, the leadership calling he had. There were three major guys, Peter and John and James, but Peter was the top dog. And yet we find him here at a place where Jesus said to him that he was going to deny him. And Peter said, that's not going to happen. I'll go to prison and to death. And there's another place in the Gospels where Peter looks at all the others and he said, these guys, they might deny you, but me, never. Even if I go to prison or if I die, I'll never deny you. And yet, he ended up doing exactly that. That's always been an encouragement to me. Because Peter thought for sure he would not do that. He thought for sure that wouldn't happen to him. And it did. There's a couple of interesting things here. One is that Satan had to obtain permission to sift Peter like wheat. And the other interesting thing is that Jesus, the Father, gave him permission. I don't know how to fit that into my theological pipe and smoke it, but it's true. But he says to Peter, after telling him that Satan has, and the word is literally, he's obtained permission by asking to sift you like wheat. And then Jesus says, I'm praying for you, but I'm praying for you that your faith won't fail. And it sounds like Jesus is praying, okay, but I'm praying against that. But that's not what Jesus says, because the next thing he says is, and when you return again, strengthen your brothers. In other words, to return means you have to stray away. Now, was it God's will for Peter to deny him? No, God doesn't tempt anyone to evil, but God's also knowing. And had Jesus knew that Peter was going to do just exactly that, because he later says, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And yet he prayed that his strength wouldn't fail. What is that talking about? One of the things that's going to make hell so unbearably hell throughout all of eternity for Satan is when he discovers how much God used him to help conform the people of God to the image of Christ. The enemy's got all these things he does, he pours out. Like we said, we talked about the other day, those of you CTKers, why the warfare? Because the enemy's evil, he goes after. Why does God ever allow that? Because he uses the enemy to propel us into breakthrough, to propel us into advance and increase that we'll never retreat from, and it causes him to suffer a setback he never recovers from. There's a lot at stake. We can't see the big picture like God does. God's so big that he doesn't ever want you to lose a battle, but he's so big and so brilliant that he knows that there are times in losing battles we end up winning the war. And what he was praying for with Peter was like, here's what I'm praying for. Here's the prayer. Here's where the real risk is involved. The risk is involved is that once you've blown it, that your faith won't fail. Because what the enemy's after is not a momentary failure. I mean, he wants that, but he thinks bigger than that. Isn't it interesting how the enemy has a bigger picture of our own spirituality often than we do? Like, we'll blow it and mess up, and then we're here like, it's all it's done. It's over. All the ground I've gained is done. I got to start all over again. You know, yada, yada, yada. Instead of realizing, because of the blood of Christ, okay, I blew it. I don't ever want to do that again. I don't have to start all over again. I can start right back where I left off and move forward and learn. God's about my transformation, not about my condemnation. Doesn't mean it's okay to fail, but it does mean that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. The enemy has a long-term picture, because when he tempts us and we blow it, what he wants us to do is to get into such despair and introspection and guilt and condemnation that we kind of stop going for it. We kind of lose hope. See, the Christian life is lived by faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is the anchor of our soul. And what the enemy does, he's trying to steal your hope. He's trying to get your faith to fail. Your momentary failure or your lapse is not what he's after. What he's after is your long-term, he's after a long-term consequence that in the midst of the failure, you won't get up and start walking again. You'll have all these haunting doubts and stuff. That's what Jesus prayed for. And you know what? God answered that prayer. He says, and when you turn again, here's what we'll do. Will make the devil pay for it. Strengthen your brothers. Now, when did he get to do that? If you remember at the cross, they all fled. They all ran, except for John. But he ran initially, and at some point turned around, went back to the cross, was the only one that stood. And when Peter, the last story we have of him in relationship to Christ before, after the resurrection, was when he's fishing. Remember when he's fishing? And they can't catch fish. They've been fishing all night. This is the same way he got called way back 3.5 years earlier. Same event. And there's a man sitting on the beach. They don't recognize him. And he yells out to them, throw the cast net on the right side of the boat and see. They cast the net on the right side of the boat. They pull up a net full, so full they can't, it's about to break the net. Same thing happened 3.5 years ago when God called him to be fishers of men. The fisher of men. And when they start to pull the net up, Peter, who's still racked with guilt and shame, John looks at him. The one who had laid his head on the breast of Christ, understood some things about the love of God, looked at Peter and said, it's the Lord. Peter didn't even recognize it was the Lord. His brother in the Lord told him, this is the Lord. Sad, isn't it, that most of our brothers and sisters, when we fail, are telling us how disappointed God is in us and how disappointed they are in us. John said, it's the Lord. And he stripped down, jumped into the ocean, jumped into the sea, swam to Christ. And at the end of the story, Jesus speaks to him and three times says, "Hey, Peter, feed my lamb, tend my sheep." Peter strengthened his brothers. But you know what I bet? I bet they were all feeling pretty guilty. Except for maybe John, feeling defeated. Remember they were locked away in the upper room out of fear? Jesus had to walk through the door. But Peter knew that because you failed doesn't mean your story's over. Doesn't mean your testimony's over. It actually means, okay, what do you do about your failure? What, in light of what's happened? In light of your sin? Hear the Lord speaking to your heart. "I don't want your faith to fail." And you're like going, "Yeah, but let's talk about my sin some more." I'm praying that your faith won't fail. You already told me you were sorry. The blood covers that one too. Now go make him pay for it. Strengthen your brothers and sisters, because they all have known what it is to fail too. You have a testimony, a victory in the midst of failure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.